Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise,
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use a fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. Good morning, my friend.
What's happening, my man? How are you?
I'm doing good,
yeah,
Randy.
I know you're doing good. Your dad at your house, basically building another house on the end of your house.
He is, yeah. And he's working right now.
Yeah, I know he
is. It's the best thing ever. Like, I'm here doing this. He's here doing that. And you know what? I wondered. I didn't know whether or not he was listening to the show while he's at the house doing work. And so yesterday I got home and I asked him and we're kind of talking. I was like, oh, have you been listening at all? And he's like, no. I have to listen to you all the hours while you're home.
Right.
Why would I listen to you on the radio while I'm staying at your house? And I said, well, that's a fair point,
that makes sense.
I guess. I mean, you're listening to the same, like, 15 Allman Brothers songs you've been listening to for the last 40 years. It's not like that's new or anything like that, but that's all right.
Hey, that's his style. That's his thing. So it don't matter, does it? We know one thing about pops. They like what they like. You ain't changing them.
I'm not hating on the Allman Brothers. Don't get that twisted, Brian Gebhardt. I love the Allman Brothers. I'm just saying, like, at least our show is different.
Right.
And it would be new sentences every single day.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Allman Brothers.
What?
I don't think I've ever heard of Allman Brothers.
Really?
Probably not.
The Allman Brothers?
Yeah.
I think that they started in Macon.
Oh, really?
They're from Macon.
Oh, okay. Just because from Macon.
But that's,
it's right down the street.
I'm just saying, it's pretty. You've heard an Allman Brothers song.
I probably have
before.
You play it, yeah. Because you know me in music. I mean, I gotta hear the song.
Yeah, no, you would. You definitely know some of their music. I'm a fan of their music, as is my dad, which is why he's probably listening to them right now. And not us. Luckily for us, there are people listening to us right now, hopefully. They might be changing over to the Allman Brothers. A lot to talk about today, though. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to what's trending, as always. Had a chance to get up to Flowery Branch yesterday afternoon and chat with Matt Ryan, chat with Caleb McGarry. We'll let you hear some of that as the show goes on. Caleb McGarry, not surprisingly, Randy, excited to be alive.
Very full of life. Full of life and laughter.
And exuberance. The only thing that sucked was I was trying to talk to him. And you know how Caleb McGarry is interested in a variety of things in his life, some of them hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy from some like hunting and fishing magazine got to him first.
Oh, really?
And just bogarted him. Just asked him 10 minutes of questions about rifles and fishing rods and fly fishing and all kinds of stuff. It's like, all right, man, do you mind if we ask him about, you know,
football?
Playing right tackle?
football?
It was like to play, you know, in the NFL for the first time? No, we finally got a chance to talk to him, and we'll let you hear some of that throughout the show. And he assessed his performance on Sunday, and just like pretty much everybody's been saying, has to play better. Has to be better this weekend against the Eagles. We understand that. What I want to try to get to the bottom of, Randy, and get your perspective on is there seems to be sort of two competing philosophies as to what went wrong against the Vikings.
Right.
My guess is it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, somewhere in the middle. But I find it interesting, and I want to know which one would be worse if it actually was the reason. Because a lot of people are talking about preparation.
Right.
A lot of people are talking about getting out physicaled.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The physical ability to do what you're supposed to do on the football field versus essentially coaches putting you in the right position to do what you're supposed to do on the football field. We've got a handful of different audio clips to get to in just a minute. But just from your, now that we're what, 4 days in the rearview mirror,
and that,
talked about it, rewatched it probably, read all kinds of stuff about it, what happened against the Vikings. Is your assessment of that game that it was a preparation issue? It was an effort issue, or it was just an out-physical issue?
I think it was just out-physical because the one thing about the game and the prep that goes into the game, you never go into a Sunday feeling like I was unprepared. And I don't think the Falcons went in there and when it was kicked off at 1 o'clock, they weren't sending themselves or we weren't prepared for it. I just looked like, you know, once the snowball effect I always talk about, once one bad thing happens, then it seems like they just keep repeating themselves. I don't think preparation, I don't think being out prepared is what Matthews did on the first play and had the mental error. I don't think being unprepared is you can't run the football. I think it's just they were more physical than you at the point of attack. Being unprepared does not excuse you for doing a basic defensive assignment, and that's just keep you outside arm free. You know, when you go into a first game, you don't have a lot on the team because they usually put in some new wrinkles and new stuff. And a lot of those things, I heard Dukes and Belly were talking about, Coach Ulbrich, the linebacker coach, was talking about, you know, the runs that Dalvin Cook ran, they weren't designed to go outside. Well, he ran them outside
right.
Because that's where the play was, you know, that's where the defense allowed him to go.
Yeah, so, he saw very clearly and very quickly that that's where he was going to be able to eat.
Yeah, so that doesn't look like unprepared. That just looked like you didn't do your assignment.
Right,
you know?
Which, again, and I want to hear from Matt Ryan here because Matt Ryan sort of he completely agrees with you. I don't know if that's better. Here's Matt Ryan's assessment of what happened on Sunday.
I thought we were well prepared going into it. We just we didn't play well, and sometimes that happens.
It does.
And, you know, in this league, you know, I've been around for a long time. When that happens, you got to, you know, flush it out of your system, get back to work, and have the confidence and belief that, you know, better performance is in front of you the next week. And, you know, that's kind of the way I feel now.
And he's right. It does happen like that sometimes. I mean, you can study all week long and you can practice all – I mean, you can have a great week of practice. It doesn't mean that it's going to generate to the same results on a Sunday. I mean, sometimes it's just, like Matt said, it does happen where you can be the most prepared, you're ready for everything you did. I mean, you've been studied all night long till your eyes bleed. You know what I mean? And stuff like that happens. And a lot of times it happens because you're just getting physically whipped.
Yeah.
And that's what the Falcons did. The Falcons got just physically whipped by Minnesota in all three phases.
And to me, correct me if you disagree with this, to me, that's worse. Like, lack of preparation, I think you can fix. And again, I don't think that they were unprepared. I think you talk about all the different things that you mentioned there, the defensive front that we explain and like and we get philosophically. But if your guys on the edge can't do the two or three things that they need to do to be able to play on the edge, and I'm talking about Tack and Vic, then you're going to have Dalvin Cook say, well, you know what would be smarter than running it right into Grady Jarrett and Alan Bailey and Tyler Davison, who are penetrating and tackling me at the line of scrimmage. I'm just going to bounce it outside because these guys don't know how to set the edge, or maybe whether it's they don't know how to or they can't. And that's what we were getting into yesterday.
Right.
Because to me, the worst case scenario for a football player is the inability to do what you're asked to do.
Correct.
Like, if you just can't physically do it, you could prepare all night long. Mm-hmm. Like, you can know exactly, like, a lot of people could understand what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It's the ability to actually go out there and do it.
That's it.
And that's what makes me scared. That's what has me worried about going back and thinking about that Vikings game, because a lot of the stuff you're talking about is, I mean, you know the basic football play. You know you're supposed to fan outside. You know you're supposed to actually chip when you're supposed to be chipping when you're Austin Hooper.
Right.
You know that you're supposed to set the edge. All of these things that they know, basic stuff, but it didn't happen.
Right.
So then it makes me wonder why it wasn't happening. Is it just week one? Guys are not ready because they weren't playing in the preseason. Well, you're playing better players.
Other teams are playing.
Exactly.
Other teams didn't play their players and looked good. You know, I mean, that's the thing about it. Other teams didn't play out their players all preseason and look fine. I mean, like Matt said, it just happens like that sometimes. You just go out there and a team is just better than you on that Sunday. Not saying that Minnesota is a better football team than Atlanta. They were better than them on Sunday, and it showed in all three phases of the game. Atlanta didn't win a lot of their one-on-one matchups when they had opportunities to do it. They didn't win a lot of, you know, as far as their units. It just seems like, and then when you take away that aspect that makes Matt great, and I saw somebody tweet this at us the other day, the play action pass. Well, you can't play action pass, you can't damn run the football.
Right.
I mean, it's really
You're not fooling anybody.
It's really a null and void type play if you can't run the football.
The play action pass is deception.
Yeah.
You're not deceiving anybody if they don't think you're actually going to hand it off.
Exactly. So, I mean, that puts the end of that. And that's one thing that you got to get going. That's why I'd be interested to see what Dirk does. Do they come out in a little tempo this game? Do they go back, you know, switching in and out of it? But, I mean, for that to happen, you got to be in a rhythm. to go tempo, you got to get first downs. You got to move the football. So that's the only way it works. You can't be tempo and going three and out.
Right.
I mean, that just defeats the purpose.
That actually is the worst thing you can do. We hit on this yesterday a little bit. The first time in this series of three losses now, back to back to back, that the Falcons have against the Eagles over the last three seasons, that's what did them in. And that's back when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, and we're talking about a football team that ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. Yeah. The reason they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016 was because they did play with tempo, and they were playing quickly on offense, but they were going three and out, and they were incomplete passes, and they were going three and out in like 45 seconds.
Right.
So they kept putting their defense back on the field. Go back and look at the time of possession from that game in 2016 between the Eagles and the Falcons. That's why they lost that game, because the defense got worn out in the second half. They couldn't stop the run because they were exhausted, and the offense couldn't sustain drives. That's another thing that we really need to focus on this Sunday night against the Eagles, and Arch talked about it yesterday. The offense has actually been able to move the ball decently against the Eagles' defense the last three times they've played and lost to them.
Can't score.
They just can't score touchdowns when they get in the red zone.
What did I say before? I said earlier this week, you can have that 20-20. Go ahead. Go ahead, Julio. Rack up all them yards. Go ahead, Matt. All right, y'all. At the end of the day, you'll have, like Archer, you'll have 8 for 150.
Sure.
Matt will have, Matt'll go with 21 of 26 for 340. And y'all have 6 points. Yeah, go ahead and have all that 80. Go ahead and have that 20-20. That's all. You can have that all day. And that's what good defenses do. I mean, some defenses just stifle you the whole time, but some of them, when you get in the red zone, they just don't let you score touchdowns. And that's the most important thing this week, is you got to score, because Philly's going to score some points. I mean, it's as much as I love Dan Quinn's defense and Debo and all them, they're not going to shut down or shut out Philadelphia. They got to score some points because Philly is too explosive. That's why, you know, our phrase this week is, where's D-Jax? Because you better know where he is.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play out traditionally out wide where he usually is. They're moving him in the slot. And when you get him in the slot and you give him all that room to run, that's what you got to worry about. You got to worry about the fact that, you know, Sanders and Howard, these guys can run the football. You got Sproles also out the backfield. And, you know, Sproles has been a problem for the Falcons since New Orleans.
Yes.
You know, so
and everyone else. But, yeah. Yes, especially for the Falcons.
So you got to figure all that out. They got a good offensive line, you know, that's good at both run and pass blocking. I mean, my man JP, he's getting older. He's a Hall of Famer, but, I mean, he's still playing at a high level. So, I mean, you got to score points. The Falcons' offense has got to get in the end zone.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you. The one thing I'll say, though, to piggyback on that is the Falcons' defense has done well against the Eagles' offense the last couple of times they played. Now, granted, it was Nick Foles playing quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl for them. I understand that. But
he did.
They, what, 15 points they held them to on the road in the playoffs a couple years ago. I think last year the final score was 18-12, something like that. So they kept them under 20 points
again
two times in a row.
Nick Foles. No D-Jax.
Understood. No, I got you. Yeah. I totally get it.
It's a different offense.
Now, Nick Foles scored, I think, 45 points in the Super Bowl, so the offense did function when he was there.
It's a different offense.
I agree with you. I'm just saying this defense has shown the ability to win their whole, because, again, they played the Eagles week one last year when they actually had all their guys before everybody got hurt. They looked like a good defense before everybody got hurt.
Yeah.
But you're right. Touchdowns are the key this weekend. Isn't that a nice key to the game?
Yeah.
Score touchdowns.
Yes. Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. That's our tournament. It's benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, Wednesday, September 25th, 4 to 7. Think Dukes and Bell are broadcasting live. Celebrities include Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Mohammed Masbara,
Marquise,
Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, and many more. Two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. Plus, we'll have a post-tournament Atlanta United viewing party to cheer on our five strike. For tickets, go to 929thegame.com.
You know who's going to be there?
Marquise Grissom.
And us.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be there.
We're going to be there hanging out.
And we're going to have a team, right?
Yeah, we're going to win another bowling trophy. Coming up next, we'll get into what's trending, including what Brian Snitker is talking about here.
You know, as of right now, I think we're okay.
I do too, Snit. I think you guys are okay. Maybe even better than okay. We'll talk about how last night went. Coming up next in what's trending on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Swing and a high fly ball deep left field. It's a line drive homer for Tyler Flowers.
That's about the only one he's gone tomahawk high, and that is the inherent problem that Eflin has. If he's up, he gets creamed, and Flowers didn't miss it.
There you have it, courtesy of Fox Sports South last night. Chip Carey there. Braves take care of business against the Phillies by a score of 3-1. All three runs scored right there, Randy. Tyler Flowers coming through last night, which is nice. Tyler Flowers offensively has actually been pretty good over the last couple of weeks.
Tyler Flowers defensively?
Yeah, I mean, hasn't had, I don't think, any, like, horrific pass balls of late. that we've noticed. Obviously, he still leads Major League Baseball in pass balls and only plays about half the games. That's neither here nor there. He did have a tough time. Did you see him in the ninth inning last night?
Yeah.
Melanson came in throwing those curveballs that were just falling off the planet.
They were dropping too, man. But what a great game, man. And Josh Donaldson, way to end it. That was just so cocky of him. That was just
so cocky
the way he ended that game. But, yeah, just another great overall performance by the squad. Our guy, Austin Riley, got him a hit. Got thrown right at home, but he got him a hit. So it was good to see the ball connect. Have we got any word on Johan?
It seems like it's going to be not serious.
Okay.
That's what I heard after the game last night.
Because
he went down like a Christian Yelich.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first thing came to mind when that happened. I was like, oh, no.
Well, they were talking about Christian Yelich like right when it happened. Actually, here's Brian Snitker talking about that last night.
Hoping that, you know, right now it's just a contusion and it'll be day to day and he's sore. And you know, I didn't know if it was his shin or his, you know, I kept thinking about Yelich last night, you know. but I think, you know, just saw him, he's getting treatment and, you know, hopefully everything's good. And you know, probably, you know, I'm sure he'll be a couple days before he can, you know, run around on it and everything. But that's, you know, as of right now, I think we're okay.
Yeah, that's on Johan Camargo fouling a ball off of the inside of his shin bone.
Yeah.
Right underneath his knee. So it didn't hit his knee. I mean, it just looked awful.
I know that hurt. And the thing with that is, you know, the pain threshold, I mean, there's no reason to rush him back, really, is there? But, yeah, again, Tyler Flowers, big-time hit. Ronnie did a good job at the plate yesterday. I got him three walks. I just think that was all purposeful. You remember bottom of the eighth. And it was so funny because it was like, okay, Ronnie, is he going to get an opportunity to hit? They're like,
They just walked him in the ninth. Yeah, just take it.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, take it. Now, the unfortunate thing about when you walk him with a runner around second base is he can't then steal second base.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, and also, I don't remember who was on second, but it was not someone fast, so you can't really do a double steal. So, Ronald Acuna did not steal any bases last night. And as every game goes by, it becomes more challenging for him to get to 40 because he's still sitting at 34. And he got thrown out the other night by Real Muto. Real Muto's got an excellent arm,
yes,
so it's always going to be tough to steal against the Phillies, and that's who the Braves play again tonight. But no, Randy, there was a lot that went into the win last night. We'll get into Dallas Keuchel in just a minute, let you hear from Dallas Keuchel and spend some more time on him in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but it's just funny if you watch who all pitched yesterday, they're all the new guys. And you saw, you know, Chris Martin, he got busy.
Who?
Chris Martin got beat. Yeah, but the only thing, Shane Green and Mark, they threw too many pitches for me.
They did, but I'm willing to give them some leeway.
Why?
Because the umpire was
They were garbage. I'll give you that. They were straight garbage.
Both of those guys had strikeouts that didn't get called, and then they had to pitch to multiple batters after that. That strike zone in the ninth inning and in the eighth inning, throughout the entire game, but especially late in the game, was embarrassing. Like, Melanson would throw a curveball that was a ball, clearly, and he'd call it a strike. And then he'd throw the exact same pitch two pitches later and he'd call it a ball. It was so inconsistent and so frustrating. And look, I'm proud of Melanson for not snapping and not getting kicked out of the game after a couple of those pitches didn't get called strikes.
Well, I mean, Mark looked like he always about to get kicked out of the game. He has the ultimate game face.
He's very twitchy.
Yeah, he has the ultimate game face. But again, don't apologize for wins. What's magic number 8 now?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. Let's go.
Your guy, Chris Martin, had an immaculate inning last night.
I saw that. I was like, wow.
9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts, the 99th time that's ever happened in baseball history, which is like one-third of the amount of no-hitters that have ever been pitched in baseball history. So it's how would you put that mathematically? It's one-third less likely to happen than a no-hitter, what he did last night? It's happened less than 100 times in baseball history, what Chris Martin did. That's fantastic.
It was great.
It was the Alex Anthopoulos All-Stars. Exactly what you wanted to see. You see your starter go 6. You got Martin Green and Melanson, and you get the win.
Yep, game time.
It was a great game last night, certainly from the pitching staff. Offensively, didn't do a ton, but that's okay. They did enough to win, and a chance to take the series tonight as they play the Phillies one more time. The Phillies have to just be furious. Like, just going up against the Braves, who you swept at the beginning of the season, and now you can't beat them anymore.
You're not good enough.
Oh, you're not good enough. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not good enough.
You spent all this money, and the playoffs are slipping through your fingers, and you're just sort of watching the season fall away. You spent stupid money, but unfortunately, it wasn't good enough to take down the Atlanta Braves, who have been fantastic almost the entire season.
They have been great.
I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting there. I'm not going to say that I'm a marathon runner yet, but, you know, hopefully by the end of this, I'll be a 300-whatever-pound marathon runner. So.
He's so funny.
That's Caleb McGarry excitedly talking to the media yesterday, which I hope continues forever. I asked him, you know, how you feeling physically? Like, how's your conditioning going? And he was honest about it. Not there yet.
Uh-huh.
You know?
He's getting there.
But I'm working on it.
And he has to. And it's game reps and practice reps are different. They are. I mean, the one thing you can do after practice, you go out there and run some gassers, you know, try and get that wind going. But, I mean, the only way you're going to get in game shape is to play games.
Sure.
And he's done. I thought, you know, you said this in the bullpen. I thought the same thing. I thought he played okay. He wasn't terrible, you know. And Arch pointed it out, you know, the one sack he gave up, it was because Hooper tricked him. You don't trick – when you're chipping, you don't trick the tackle. That's just a known rule for tight ends or backs or whoever's over there chipping. But, yeah, he's going to get the start again. He's going to be on the same – he's going to be, you know, probably on a pitch count. I'm just curious, how does it go? Is it like – does he go – is it every other series, every third series that they rotate him in? Or is it when he's tired, if he goes over and says, I'm tired, do they bring him out?
I don't know.
I'm curious about how that rotation goes.
On Sunday, it felt like it was about 10 plays,
yeah,
and then they would rotate, or two series, and then they would rotate. Hopefully, they continue to just ramp it up. I also noticed, as we were in the open locker room yesterday afternoon, McGarry was one of the last guys to get in there, out on the field doing a little extra conditioning, yeah, after practice, so that's good. He's obviously continuing to work on this. But, you know, 2-3 weeks into the season, we don't need a rotation anymore at right tackle.
No, you don't.
And you don't want a rotation
now.
I
think that's the most important thing. You don't want one.
Yeah, I don't want one now.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, if that's what they need, if that's what this young man needs until he's fully able to go a whole game, then okay, I mean, fine. But I just don't like it. I don't.
I don't like it either, yeah, because the rotation means we have to see Ty Sambrello play football. And, you know, that's not like the ideal situation as far as I'm concerned. Did you ever accidentally trick a tackle?
Yeah.
You did that before?
Yeah.
How do you make up for that? Just apologize?
Don't ever do it again.
My bad.
Yeah, that's my bad, dog.
I didn't mean to.
Luckily, the ball got out, and it didn't cause a sack.
But. Oh, you never tricked a tackle into a sack?
No. Don't do that, dude. Because one thing about it, not only he going to cuss you out, quarterback going to cuss you out, O-line coach going to cuss you out.
Head coach
going to cuss you out. Your tight end coach going to cuss you out. So, just, you know, and it's so easy. That's the crazy thing about it. Just hit the outside shoulder.
Yeah.
Or knock him on the tackle.
That's too many cuss outs.
Yeah.
I mean, on a given Sunday, you might get cussed out at some point, but the goal is to not get cussed out.
At all.
Zero cuss outs.
You don't want to cuss anybody out, or you don't want to get cussed out.
That's a good game. I bet a lot of guys got cussed out on Monday in that film room, I would imagine.
I just saw something really funny just come over my timeline.
What'd you see?
Adam Gase tells reporters that quarterback Sam Darnold will miss Monday's game.
Oh, that sucks.
With mono.
Oh! Mono?
Under kissing nasty
folks.
Come
on!
They're putting his mouth on people.
You're the quarterback of the New York Jets now.
Yeah, man. But, well.
This is not sophomore year of high school.
You know what I'm saying?
You have choices now. You don't have to kiss the girl with mono. Anyway.
Made some adjustments schematically. Technically, we got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to play. It's a collective issue that we got to fix. Fortunately, we have a culture that's right, man, that every man in that building, coach and player alike, has pointed the finger at themselves, and we're back to work.
That's linebackers coach Jeff Ulbrich talking about what went down on Sunday, and the culture of the team has the ability to go about fixing this. Culture's fine.
Fixing it.
Preparation
is
fine.
Yeah.
Talent.
Yeah.
Talent is what I'm talking about. And so now, because of the defense that they're running and the fact that you've got Tack and Vic standing up on the outsides, those guys are kind of his deal now.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work? I mean, I know that makes them outside linebackers. They're standing up in that 3-4.
Yeah.
So they're his problem now, not the defensive line?
No, that's a good question, but I'm sure they go with the defensive line coach, because when I look at them now in this defense, they're just hybrid. They're hybrid players.
Okay.
And they can be down, they can be up. But what they're doing now, I mean, they just got to get that fixed. And I'm talking about, I know Dan Quinn, and I know that was an emphasis all week in practice. And I'm talking about they probably had the look team, which is a scout team, the guy, practice squad guy. I'm sure they overemphasized trying to reach Tack and Vic and all those other guys that play on the edge. I'm sure that was an emphasis. And if it happens this week, hey, man, you're going to have to make some changes. All right, and just if you have to just bring them in on third down and rush the passer, you cannot allow them to do that on first and second down with running backs running outside.
But that's the thing that's going to be so interesting to watch on Sunday is because, look, we all want it to work.
Yeah.
We all want Tack and Vic to be able to do what they're being asked to do on the outside.
Yeah.
If they can't, and I don't mean don't, I mean if they can't, then that throws so much of what Dan Quinn is trying to do this season defensively into, I mean, you gotta start over. Like, I don't know that you can do that 3-4 anymore like they're talking about. You might have to go back to how they did it last year.
No,
like you said, using them on third downs.
That might be the biggest thing, is just having to play third down, man. Because if you keep getting bludgeoned, and you kind of saw that in the run game, Tack did better in the run. He was just taking bad angles.
Okay.
But Vic just getting moved.
So then who do you bring in? Like Adrian Claiborne is going to be your answer on first and second down?
Him
now?
And Bailey. Put them at the ends.
Wow.
Him and Bailey. Put them
okay.
at the ends.
All right.
Hey, join my man Andy Bunker and Hugh Douglas. Falcons Friday kickoff rally presented by SunTrust, located at Atlantic Station off Tower Street, starts at 7. Special appearance by Falcon players, Ready the Falcon, cheerleaders, and more, which is Hugh and Andy.
Yeah.
More details.
And my dad, maybe.
There are more details on the events page. Oh, really? On 929thegame.com.
I'm trying to convince him. He's not sure.
He ain't coming.
He's not sure he wants to go. I told him there might be Budweiser's there.
But they're going to be cold.
I know.
Yeah.
We'll bring warm ones with us. We'll come back and get into what the Braves did last night. We still have plenty of questions headed into the playoffs. But I got one very definitive answer last night. I'll tell you what that is coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9
The Game. Welcome back to Andy and Randy, two knuckleheads that actually know what they're talking about, on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, get to an NFL no huddle segment, including some odds that Falcons fans might not necessarily want to see. Not very good odds regarding regarding one member of the Falcons coaching staff. We'll get to that coming up in 20 minutes. Also, you know, make more fun of Sam Darnold for having mono.
Damn,
because it's funny to have mono when you're a grown-up. And he's going to miss football games with mono.
I've heard so many different things about that mono disease. Like, some people say you can get it from a water fountain.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
But sharing a Coke.
Yeah. Okay, so he might have drank, drank after somebody.
Maybe he shared a water bottle with somebody who had mono.
Who shares water bottles with people who ain't your lady or your kid?
Maybe his lady has mono. But how did she get it? That's the question.
Hmm.
Maybe he's a young guy. What, he's like 22?
Is he that old?
I don't know, 21?
Yeah.
He might be hanging out in the Hofstra dorms out there.
Over there.
Making out with freshmen? I'm not sure.
Walking around with shower shoes.
Yeah, hanging out with shower shoes to go to the bathroom and all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know. All I know is he probably didn't wear shower shoes. That's probably how he got mono in the first place. Anyway, we'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in 20 minutes. One thing that I learned last night, Randy, from the Braves, and there's still plenty of questions going into the playoffs. Tomorrow, we're going to actually try to design our ideal lineup.
Okay.
Not pitching rotation, because
right.
that's been the hot discussion. We'll try to design our ideal lineup with guys getting healthy mm-hmm. and guys playing the way that they've been playing and all of that. Dallas Keuchel's my game one starter. Dallas Keuchel starts game one in the playoffs for me. Over his last six games, he's got a sub-1 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he's been there before.
Before the six games, he got rocked.
He did once.
He got rocked. He it was that game where
really bad.
And then as a pro, you go into the lab and you look at the tape and what did I do? We talked about this with Dallas. He's got to be perfect, though. You know what I'm saying? He's got to have that ball placement right where he needs it, because if not, Andy, it's going out the park.
Here's the thing, though, that I like about Dallas. Well, I like a lot of things about Dallas Keuchel. One of the things that I like about Dallas Keuchel regarding what you just said, Randy, about him needing to be nearly perfect and just be as exact and precise as he possibly can be, is when he isn't, what we've seen over the last six starts is he seems to have the ability to correct it on the fly,
right?
Like in the game. Because one of my favorite things in watching Keuchel pitch, and look, obviously you never want to see your guys get into tough spots, but I almost like watching Dallas Keuchel get into jams and watch him work out of them. Last night he had a runner on first and third with no outs. He gave up one run, and he worked through the next three batters so systematically. He was willing to give up a run for an out, and he got that. And he got the next three guys out, got out of the inning, only gave up one run. I mean, only gave up one run in his entire start. But he's so calm in those moments where things might not be going perfectly.
Right.
And he's got the ability to say, all right, this guy does this. They got these runners on. I'm gonna manage this situation very, very cautiously,
right,
and get out of it and then live to play another day, essentially. Then he came back for a couple more innings and looked really good. That's one thing that I liked about what Max Fried did the other night was we saw him get punched in the mouth in the first inning and find the ability to last five innings after having that terrible start. Dallas Keuchel has the ability to do that.
Yeah,
he's done it in the playoffs before. That's why I like him so much.
Here's the thing with that is if you do that, those other three guys that pitched right behind him yesterday, they got to do the exact same thing.
Sure.
They got to do that. And the way they've been pitching lately, it gives you the confidence to automatically assume that they'll do that, you know, when the playoffs come around. But right now, I don't even think Schnick knows. I know that, you know, Dallas looked good yesterday. I thought you were going to say his beard, too, but.
Well, I like his beard too.
Yeah, it's a good beard. But no, he's just one of those guys. Like Schnick said, he's been there. He's been in those big, high leverage, high pressure moments of World Series. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's been in those type of fires, and nobody on this squad who's throwing the ball off a mound had. Well, Melance, but he's been a closer.
No one even playing.
Yeah, I mean,
like, no one who plays for the Braves has the type of experience that Keuchel and McCann have.
So that's the thing that we keep talking about: is would you go with experience over the youth? And you know, Soroka the other day, he made you, you know, just a little bit because he's been great.
It's not just the other day, though.
But it's been a couple times. You'd be like,
his last five starts, his ERA is over four.
You'd be like,
He hasn't looked as sharp as he did.
I think that's where you're at when you talk about the Braves pitching. I also think that Dallas Keuchel is going to get the ball in the first game. But my thing is he going to be able to, you know, because he can go on shorter rest because he knows what to do. But I'm saying, will he be as effective on shorter rest? Because he's not the same pitcher when he went on short rest before. You know what I'm saying? As far as velocity and all those things. Now, he can battle, like you said, he can battle, he can deal, he can paint the corners and do all those things. But how effective will it be if he's, say, going off a three-day rest?
I'm not sure. We'll have to see if it gets to that point. The ideal situation, I think, would be he goes game one and wins.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to go on short rest. The only time I'm using Dallas Keuchel on short rest, really, I guess, would be if they won game one and then the next two guys went out there and just laid eggs in games two and three and they were down 2-1 and you needed to try to right the ship and put Dallas Keuchel back out there for game four. And that might not even be short rest depending on how the schedule of the series breaks down. What I know is, and again, unless Dallas Keuchel completely falls off a cliff in the next three starts that he probably has before the playoffs,
right.
When I go game one of the division series, when the Braves play whoever it is that they play, Dallas Keuchel's my starting pitcher, and Brian McCann's behind the plate.
Yes.
Now, we can fill out the lineup in other ways. We know we know who the infield's going to be.
Right.
I think we have a pretty good idea what the outfield's going to look like. But those are my guys. That's my one, and that's my two. And those are the guys with the most experience.
Right.
Those are the guys that are most directly in control of the game. And those are the guys that I feel most comfortable with saying, all right, here's a playoff game. Go out and win it for me because I think that they can do it.
They can do it. I mean, we need to you know, give this team their credit. Now, this is a damn good baseball team. All right, this is a World Series contending baseball team. And right now, I think the only thing that will hold them back is that part of the game. I look at this lineup, the pitching part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be the only thing that will hold this team back. I think if you look offensively, they got too much depth. They got too many good players. And I think that Ronnie, he's coming around. You know what Josh is going to do. You know what Freddie's going to do. Ozzy, I mean, you got so much there, and that's why it's going to be interesting how you do your lineup tomorrow, because I know I already got a thought of how mine's going to go.
Well, I know what my top four is.
Everybody knows that, but I'm just talking about after that, because I have some questions about afterwards. And it's not bad questions. It's just a fact of how are you placing them.
No, I totally understand. And most of them, I think, are good problems to have because you're going to have more guys back.
Yes.
Guys are getting healthy. And the thing that I think gets undersold the most with this Braves team, and we saw it in full effect in the ninth inning last night, it won them the game last night in the ninth inning, is their defense. Dansby Swanson comes up with an amazing play up the middle, almost doubles up the guy at second base. What a great play.
What a play.
And then Josh Donaldson to go navigate that dugout step.
I'm so cocky.
Get it in there and then kind of do the little kick and turn around.
So cocky.
Very cocky.
Very
you know
cocky.
What? When you're Josh Donaldson and you're an MVP formerly and
you can do stuff
you're playing
like
the
that.
Way you're playing right now, yeah, you can be cocky. You got a baseball team that might win 100 games this year. I like that.
Better,
I like his cockiness.
Better play his or Dansby's? Because Dansby saves some stuff. Better play.
I'll go Dansby.
Yeah.
I think Dansby's was a better play.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the magnitude of where the game was going, yeah, that was a great play by Dansby.
Because if Dansby doesn't make that play, they might score a run.
Yeah.
The guy might come around second base and score. And the ball's in play, obviously. If Donaldson doesn't make that play, it's just a strike.
You line it up again.
Just, no, it was a great play.
It was a hell of a play.
It was a hell of a catch. It, a perfect way for that baseball game to end. Do you feel comfortable with these three? Have these three closers, what we saw last night in Martin, Green, and Melanson, have they done enough consistently over the last month and a half to where you go into the playoffs? I mean, there's always some concern, but you go into the playoffs with these guys and you say, yep, we're good.
Yeah.
Lockdown. Those three.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, Randy's good.
All right. Good. So Chris Martin achieved his goal.
I will try to fix you.
Fix the bullpen. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, talk about some mono. Also, a very uninspiring odd from Las Vegas. I'll tell you about it. I don't know if I agree with it, but these are not happy odds. All that and more coming up in the NFL no huddle right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.